Welcome to part two of our conversation with Gare Allen. Do you believe that one can be reincarnated into different time periods? And like literally what you just said, I'm dead and suddenly I'm waking up in 1942 Germany.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, I think our DNA, our minds are only able to understand so much.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of funny that comic books have to teach us about a multiverse, but that's who we are.
Yeah.
As humans.
Well,
that's how we understand things.
It's interesting with that, especially with adults now. I mean, comic books used to be mainly for kids, but there's something relatable that generations really like about this stuff. Maybe it's just the superhero aspect and the state of the world that we're in, and we're searching for that, and that just seems somewhat comforting and a great escape. It's just interesting to think about things in that area. You said you're an alien guy too. So, is this all interconnected? Are we all interconnected with all of this? So you die, and then guess what? Choose your own planet, and then you kind of go down from there. And okay, now I'm going to pick what I want to do on this planet. Is it something where there's death, there's reincarnation on things other than just our place? Could we theoretically be an alien?
So it's a great question, Tony. And I think about this and I'm like, okay, so you've got the soul, and the soul says, okay, I want to be this gender in this situation. And they go into the body. And then, again, this is my understanding and my thought process.
Sure.
And my hypothesis of how this works.
This is facts. We're going to fact check all of it.
Yeah.
You better be right.
Class out of the library, lady. So what happens is your environment kicks in. Now, your soul is sort of like playing, you know, backseat. They're just there for the experience, right? But they're going to nudge you here and there because they're like, oh, no, we need to do that. We need to do that. But what happens is you become a person in your meat suit, so to speak, in your life, through your environment, your family, your actions, your attitudes, and everything else. And that creates the ego. And so ego says, okay, I'm running the show. I'm in physical world. I'm the one taking the hits. I'm the one having the experiences, so I'm going to run it. So now you have spirit trying to steer ego in our meat suit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have instinct. And you're like, okay, but what you were saying, so instinct says, hey, you should go here. But that's spirit's game plan. That's their agenda. Doesn't mean it's ego's agenda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I say, oh, you should quit this job. He goes like, I really like wine and I need money for wine. So sorry, I'm not quitting this job. No, you got to quit this and go to this other job because it's going to be amazing. It'll put you in the field. You're supposed to be, you know, they know better. They know the original plan. But ego says, I'm kind of calling the shots because I'm in dense physical reality and I'm just reacting to the stimuli that's 3 feet in front of me and not seeing the bigger picture. And so that's the dichotomy. I think it's sort of a spirit versus ego thing.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I'm kind of.
if my soul wants to experience, you know, being homeless.
Yeah.
And at some point I lose my job, it looks like I'm going to lose my house. My ego's like, yeah, I'm not down with that.
Sure. And that may be like a lesson there, and just in being good to others, in humbleness. If someone is very ego driven in one life, let's see what life is like over here, and teach a lesson there. Here's one though for you: if we're all reincarnated in some way, shape, or form, as we've just discussed, what are ghosts then? Is that kind of the waiting room?
I guess they're sort of in between, and when they cross over, they go through the understand. They realize they're dead, or they refuse to believe they're dead, but they're on the astral. And the danger of the astral is thought is created instantly. So whatever you think you're going to see, you're like, oh, I died. Whatever you think you're going to see, you're going to see. And so you create the heaven you think you're going to see, or you create the hell, or whatever it is you believe. And if you think there's nothing but darkness, then you're in darkness. And I think what happens is our soul family, our guides, you know, whatever you want to call them, angels, they try to get to you and say, okay, hey, you've crossed over and you've got yourself kind of locked into something here, and they can't penetrate it at first. And so for a while you're stuck there, or you turn around and go, oh, wait, no, I'm still here. This is my house. And, you know, there's other people living there, or you block them out and you don't see them because you believe, oh, I'm just alone in my house. and you're living in that moment. So, of course, I can't speak any further than that because I don't know what the mindset is, because technically you don't have a mind.
Sure.
So I'm not sure. But I do think you get locked in a little corner of your belief system, and you create it instantly, and you continue creating it as you're living in it. And time doesn't exist. So they could be over there for, I don't know, a minute. But time doesn't exist. So on this side, that's 3 years of a haunting.
Yeah. What about when someone, you know, believes that it's like their father or their mother or someone in their life that's passed away that is watching over them, and they give signs that are very specific to that person? Some people, you know, a lot of times when someone dies, we just assume, oh, that's who's going to watch me now. But I'm talking cases where it's like, this is truly, it has to be that person because they did this and this is what they did in life, and it's very specific. What is that? Like, do we have the choice of keeping an eye on our immediate loved ones after death?
I believe you do. And I think you know the right thing is to move on, because grief is an experience. And you know they have their own life to live, and then yours is ended and you're moving on. And I think what happens is, you know, could you imagine the emotion of grief as it goes out to the ones that have passed over? I mean, it's got to be like a tidal wave, right, mm-hmm. on them. And I think that sometimes they say, you know what, I'm still attached to the physical. I'm just newly passed over. I can't leave them. I still have a strong attachment. And so they wait until they can give a sign to say, hey, it's okay. Or I'll just wait till they're okay. And then that just takes forever. And the person, you know, I think the most selfish thing you can do is say, don't leave me. Don't leave me. Show me you're here. It's like, I know, I understand. I did it when my mother passed, so I get it. Mm-hmm. But it's like, if would I rather my mother tell me a sign that she's here, or believe that she's at peace in whatever afterlife there is? Trust me, it's the latter. Now, she died in 2009. I can say that now.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, you know, I would have said, no, I need to know, because I need to know. It's, you know, that's, again, I hate to use the word selfish, but in that moment, it really is.
Well, yeah. I mean, the idea, the, you know, the wish I think of most is, you know, if you love your family, is to want to be reconnected with them. There's plenty of families that are like, fuck this, I want to out. I want a new family when I come back. But the healthy is what I should say, because I think regular is not even a thing anymore.
Regular.
Yeah, there is no regular anymore. It's the healthy. The healthy would, you know, that's the desire. That would be the instinct of I want to be with that person again. Do we do that?
Do we
get there on the other side? Let's say, you know, dad hung out to haunt you and screw with your kids for the next how many years, and then you die. Oh, there's dad, you know, or I don't know. I think I'd be cool with that. If being the dad, like waiting and screwing with my grandchildren, I would love that. If I had the choice of, okay, be reincarnated, or for the next 80 years, I can torment these little brats, I would torment the kids. You know, I would be like evil. It wouldn't be all Amityville or anything like that, but I'd move shit around. I'd whisper. I'd do all sorts of fun stuff that makes them question their sanity. And then at the end, it's like, ta-da, I'm your grandpa.
Oh, jeez.
Now I'm going to go be a grasshopper. Fuck off.
Well, that spiritual jack-in-the-box moment notwithstanding.
Exactly.
I think it get boring for everybody after a while.
It's like,
and
this,
you'd realize,
yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I should probably grow up and move on to the next lifetime at some point. But
I have a hard time finding,
but isn't it,
I have a hard time thinking that would get boring.
Well, you know what's funny, too, is it's so human of us to say, okay, I realize that, you know, death, I can't control death, but I need them to come back and tell me they're okay. It's like, we don't call the shots.
Yeah.
But we think we, it's such a human thing to do, is to demand,
yeah,
that they come back and tell us they're okay. It's like, wait a minute, they just died. Okay. Give them a minute.
Well, I guess my question is, you know, what sort of authority do we have on that? Like, you know, some people will ask for a sign from grandma or Aunt Mildred or whatever, and they'll get it. I mean, when is that something where, well, Aunt Mildred has actually been haunting you for a while, you just didn't know it, but then you requested the sign, so you got it. You know, or is that, you know, are they off doing their, you know, they're playing canassa with their friends in heaven, and then it's like, oh, shit, my granddaughter needs a sign. Hang on. And then they go do the sign and they come back. How does that work?
I think it is like that. I think that a portion of you remains in the soul family, and another portion of you goes into the lifetime. So, you know, again, multi, you know, levels of spiritual energy here. And I think, yeah, I think at some point, you know, mine came well after a year after my mother passed. I really had trouble grieving. I stuck in the guilt part of grief, mm-hmm. and I couldn't get past it. And then in my mind, I said, wait a minute, there's, I know what's on the other side, horrible things, because I write about them and people tell me about them.
Yeah.
And, you know, so has my mother moved on to a peaceful place, or is she being tormented on the astral plane right now? That really was in my mind.
Yeah.
It was the most insane thing ever. But I convinced myself that I had to know. Now, I never asked for a sign, but I said, I got to know. I got to figure this out. My left brain was trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And of course, I was just spinning and spinning and spinning. And I got my sign. And it was, I don't know if it was from my mother or not, but I got my sign. So somebody's listening, and somebody, you know, took a moment to say, here, you know, but they had to wait for me to get to the point to where the opportunity presented itself and I was open to it. And that was almost, like I said, a year after she passed.
What was the sign?
So I was leaving the gym, and I was, my poor workout partner, I was going on and on about, you know, my mother being held, you know, having the demons and the whole, I need to know she was okay. And,
yeah.
you know, he's just looking at me like, dude, you know, I just need you to spot me. I'm like, I know, I'm sorry. But anyway, so I get home, and he was super cool. He was actually super cool about it. So anyway, I get home and I open my phone, and I wanted to send him a quick text and just say, hey, you know, thanks for listening and all that. So I get home and I let the dogs outside. And keep in mind, there's like no radio, no TV, no nothing. There's no noise in the house. And I hit voice dictation. And as soon as I hit it, it beeped, and then it beeped off immediately. And I said, okay, whatever. So I went to hit it again. But in that just split second, it recorded two words, Mom, good.
Wow.
And I was like, and again, it happened in the moment after I, you know, had told him about it. And so everything about it was just perfect. And it did. And you know what? People say, oh, there's an explanation. I say, you know what? That explanation gave me peace. So
yeah.
Call it whatever you want. It helped me move past the grief I was stuck in.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Gare Allen. A big thank you to him for joining us and sharing his insights on today's episode. And thank you to you for supporting the show and keeping us on the air. We would not exist without you. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.